Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are your children. First and foremost, we're baptized into you, Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we are sealed. We have the cross of Christ both on our forehead and upon our hearts to mark us as one redeemed by you, the crucified. And Lord, because of that, we not only have all the privileges that that gives, but also the responsibilities. And Lord, we thank you that as St. Paul was trying to revolutionize the way people saw their citizenship in heaven, Lord, we thank you that he changed everything because you change everything. So Lord, may we hear these words today and take them to heart to know who we are as children of God and heirs of the promise. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're continuing our series on the simple yet profound letter of St. Paul to the churches in Galatia. We know that he writes to the churches in the province of Galatia. We had the map up there, remember, where we saw where Galatia was, and we saw that the capital of the kingdom of Galatia, before they were a province of Rome, was Ankara, which is the capital of Turkey today. So that just gives you some context where this is. Our overwhelming theme of the truth that God gave to St. Paul by the Holy Spirit is Galatians. It could be summarized by Jesus plus nothing equals everything. We're saved by faith, by grace through faith. And so this was extremely important as it was in every one of Paul's letters, but I think in Galatians, because he's dealing with Judaizers, he's dealing with legalists, it was very important, and he makes it very clear that Jesus plus nothing, there's nothing we can bring, right? It's Jesus, it's all Jesus. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. We have everything. So as we break down the different parts, today we're looking at Galatians 3, the last part of Galatians, and the first part of Galatians 4. You heard Don read it. It says, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are sons of God through faith. And just so you understand, this is what it says in Greek, but it means children of God. It's not just limited to men. But to understand that this is more faithful to the Greek translation, which as he writes to the brothers in Galatia, he means all of these. Because if people like to indict Paul, but I want to make a point, because what he's going to say next makes a very good point about how Paul saw things. For he goes on to say, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons and daughters of God through faith, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and if you are Christ, meaning you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is owner of everything. Meaning if you have a guardian, just like when throughout history, when a king or a queen died before their children were old enough, they always had a regent or someone who was their guardian who took charge. And a lot of times you see in history where even though the person is technically the king, they have no power. If anything, they're worse than slaves because they're given all the responsibility but no authority because the regent's in charge. This happened in European history a lot. So it's interesting because if we were in that context, we might better understand what he's saying here. This happened in the Israelite society, in the Jewish society, so people understood this. It happened in Roman society. But for us who don't live in that society, this sounds weird, right? Because most of us, you know, we don't have to endure a regency or a guardianship. We tend to you know, inherit things once we're old enough to, in some ways, enjoy them. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. And then he says something really profound that I just think we should think about, and I kind of mentioned when we were beginning the prayers. But when the fullness of time had come, when everything was perfect for Jesus to come into the world, when they had the Pax Romana, when there was peace in the world, when there were roads to get to different places, when there was, for the first time in history, an empire that went all around the known world, when the time had fully come, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. This is so important because, you know, I just read an article yesterday. I had a wedding and I came home and I was kind of tired and I was preparing and then somebody sent me this article on Facebook. First mistake. Well, you shouldn't have been reading Facebook. That probably would have helped. But anyways, sent this article, and it was about this church that has decided to get rid of anything in reference to God to increase attendance. I mean, it was just, when I saw it, I thought, this cannot be true. So I checked out the little link, you know, to go further, because, you know, you don't, my way of dealing with things on Facebook is always to check the references. And I was just amazed because what they are thinking is they can do positive thinking. They can have these sessions where they talk about how to eat better, how to do more good, healthy things. And they can get away from convicting people of sin and stuff because that's what turns them off. And basically the bottom line was we have to fill the chairs. And I thought, Lord, why did you put me at a time like this? Because this stuff drives me crazy. It drives me around the bed. I'm like, why did you put me here today? You could have put me back at least a little ways back when they had some respect. I mean, couldn't you just put me back where they had some respect for the Bible? Some understanding of the fact that you know, we've become so dependent on technology and upon all the modern things that we can honestly, I believe there are honestly people who live their life without thinking about God. I think we're at a time where you can fill your mind, as I mentioned, Facebook, other things. You can fill every moment of your day with those little screens. You can fill every moment of your day so much so that you don't think about the big picture. That's different from when we were agricultural society, because when spring came and fall came, at least you needed to pray about the crops. At least you needed to think about the weather. At least you needed to think about things that were beyond your control. But we don't even get fazed by these mass shootings anymore. Our senses are so dulled because of all the media that we're receiving. Do you understand what I'm saying? They had a thing on this. Now I'm telling you what not to do, but here I'm doing it. Listening to a blog, trying to understand the culture, which is what I do. Talking about the fact that we have a lesser attention span than goldfish. Because of technology, we, this generation that's coming up, and I guess I'm not really part of them anymore, my grandchildren's generation, some maybe Gloria's generation, that we have an attendance span that is less than a goldfish. And I just so you know, goldfish do not have a long attention span. Now, again, you have to research it, figure it out. Maybe Thad can do some research on the brain and give us some, if this is actually fact. But when I heard it, I kind of laughed because I thought, man, that explains a lot. But anyways, we're in a time where we don't really think about this, but yet I want you to ponder what it means that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that when God has a plan, he doesn't make mistakes. He planned for you to be here. He planned for those fathers that received the lights today, for you to be light and salt at this time in history. I'll give you an example. I kind of feel guilty as a father because I had a lot more energy when Timothy and Sarah were younger than I do with Gloria. I don't know if any of you experienced this. Had a lot more energy and wanted to do a lot more things that, I just don't have the energy for. And so God sent me this person at Christmas time. I went to a Rotary function in Dexter, and he sent me this person who is the 11th of 11, a Catholic teacher, teaches music in Livonia, and just happened to come because his wife was in the Rotary Club, and so he came to this thing, and we just happened to meet, and he said, you know what, I'm the 11th of 11th, and you know what, I look at it very differently, because I was telling him, I said, oh, you know, I just don't know what Gloria's going to, you know, I mean, and he said, you know what, my parents had way more stuff when I was around. Way more things we did, way more things. We traveled more. We did more stuff than my brothers who were older, who were a lot older than him. Well, we went, you know, my father just came out of the military and he had a lot of energy. We would go camping. We'd do all kinds of different things. He said, you know, they don't think they got gypped. I don't think I got gypped. I'll tell you something. That relieved my guilt. Because I realized, you know, every one of us, we're born at different times, we're born into different situations, but God uses those situations. He doesn't put us there by accident. It's not an accident that Gloria is the 11th and not the 2nd. God has a plan. Isn't that right? And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. Isn't that awesome? He doesn't make mistakes. We're not here by accident. We're here because it's God's plan. And you know what I think? I think he thinks very highly of us. It's a lot harder to do evangelism now than when most people were predominantly Christian. Would you agree? I mean, certainly the mission field is bigger. The harvest is more plentiful. We may feel like the workers are fewer. I don't know, it sounds pretty familiar to what Jesus said, don't you think? Jesus kind of had, might we be similar to what Jesus experienced? Didn't he say to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few? Hey, guess what? We got good company. He understands. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. I want to just close today by talking about that word heir, because sometimes in our society, we don't use that much. How many of us walk around and say, I'm an heir? They think it's kind of a running shoe or tennis shoe or something, right? Or yeah. Yeah, that's true. Error. Yeah, I'm an error. But the significance of the words here is we're, number one, justified by faith. Number two, we're adopted as sons of God in Christ. This is an amazing statement of equity and unity. I want you to understand something. For the Jewish people and for the Gentiles who are receiving this, when he says they're no longer slave nor free, Jew or Gentile, male or female, this was revolutionary. Just think about this. This is a society that's based upon class. It's based upon your whether you're male or female. And you get into the Jewish system, it's huge. And then he says, not only are you equal in the sense of you're all redeemed by Christ the crucified equally, even though roles are different, you're still united in Christ through your baptism. He says, you're one in Christ, you're Abraham's offspring, you're heirs of the promise. I mean, the Jews just had a real hard time with the fact that, you know, it might be one thing to say, well, you know, you could kind of get in by the skin of your teeth if you were a God-fearer. But to say that you were an heir of the promise was revolutionary. I mean, he is saying something that revolutionary. I thought as we kind of get close to July 4th, you know, Maybe we might get that kind of fervor for a revolutionary idea. A revolutionary idea that, you know, we're equal. Created by God. I don't know, I heard that someplace. It's revolutionary. And it wasn't Paul's idea, but it was God's divine plan. The law served its purpose as guardian, but when the fullness of time had come, God put the plan in motion. We are adopted as sons. Romans adopted adults. I don't know if you know this, but Romans often waited until they saw what the person was like, whether he was successful or not. Then they adopted him or her. Did you know that? We adopt as children, right? That's normally the way most people, I mean, some people get adopted older, but most people get adopted as children. Not in Roman society. Romans often waited to see. They were going to adopt someone. They didn't know what they were going to turn out like. They waited and then they saw that they were successful. They were adopted. Have different society. Sons legally and relationally, thus we can say Abba, Daddy. So we are no longer slaves but sons. And sons, we're heirs through God. I want to close by just sharing this because I thought it was kind of interesting. The Queen just had her 90th birthday, right? Any of you know that? It was on TV and stuff. I kind of still have an interest in that. Until I get my American citizenship, I have a commission by the Queen, and so it still kind of interests me, and I have respect for her. And so I was watching, and one of the, her oldest grandson married a Canadian girl. He was actually met her at the Grand Prix in Montreal, and they got married. And she was interviewed on CBC, and I thought it was kind of interesting because we often think of heirs, and we immediately jump to the privileges, right? How many of you, when you think about an heir, a royal heir, you think about all the privileges they're going to get? Get to live in palaces, get big budgets, get nice clothes, get to wear those funny uniforms that look kind of weird, get to wear those hats. You've seen those hats, right, if you're a lady? I mean, that's the type of stuff we think about when we think about heirs or royalty. But what was interesting was you got to hear in this interview about all the responsibilities that come with it. You no longer have a life of your own. You can't just go out and be a family. Everywhere you go, people want to know what's happening in your life. You're right in the media spotlight all the time. Whatever you do gets blown out of proportion. I mean, there's huge responsibilities. You got duties. You got staff. You got functions. I mean, it is tremendous. And I to myself, you know, I'm glad I'm not royalty. Because even though it comes with great privileges, it also comes with great responsibility. And that's why fathers, as we heard from the video we watched, you know, we can say things and do things, but ultimately we represent God to our children, don't we? Even with all of our faults and failures and everything else, I thought that those sayings, I don't know if you got to hear them all, but I thought they were really funny. Because I think I've heard every one of them, either coming from my mouth or from my father's mouth or from other people. Every one of them. And yet, the funny thing is, you get, a lot of times we don't get to hear the other ones. It's often at the end of life when I go to a funeral for a father that I'll often hear the children say, I wish he would have known how much impact he had on me. I wish he would have known that his work ethic had taught me my work ethic. It's amazing that we don't get to hear. And so I want to encourage you, children, tell your parents. Let them know. We don't want to tell them after the fact. We want to let them know now how much their actions, their model, the way they imitated Christ had an effect on you. Because if they're still leading your family, today they are stars. In our society today, if they're a stay-at-home dad that's taking care of their family, I mean, not a stay, like, but still living in the home with their children, they're a star. I don't want to give you the statistics because it's depressing, but I'm telling you, they deserve praise. They deserve thanks. So, brothers and sisters, we're heirs. We have responsibilities. But let's remember the privileges. Forgiveness, eternal life, the Holy Spirit's power to live as his people, and a God who looks down on us as well done, good and faithful servants, and gives us his blessing to move forward. Isn't that awesome? Praise be to God, for he is Abba, Father. and we are his children. Amen.